This podcast is part of the BombPod Media Network.
Greetings, friends. Welcome to another subscribe-worthy episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host, Chantel, and I have the always fabulous Miss Marie Rose by my side. And tonight we're talking about Samhain, which is where Halloween comes from. I know I always do that really sing-songy. I don't know what that's about. It's just my excitement. But first, I want to shout out my BombPod family. You just heard a promo for BombPod Media Network, and that's the group I talked about last week that I'm so excited about. So The Media Matters was recently invited to join the one and only BombPod Media Network, and we couldn't be happier. I mean, it's like cartwheeling and skipping through the streets, y'all. Seriously. So what is BombPod Media? Well, it's a podcast network that's dedicated to bringing its listeners the absolute very best content you can find anywhere. And it also supports the artists that create those podcasts with a focus on true crime, mystery, and so much more incredible content that is sure to make your ears and your soul happy. And so seriously, we are so thrilled to be part of this group. I can't even express it properly. To know that we stand amongst and are supported by some of the most incredible podcasts in the world is seriously more than my brain can process. It really means everything. And I am so honored to be invited. And here's why. We are in the company of Mysterious Radio, Hillbilly Horror Stories, Irreverent Ness, This Week in True Crime History, The Confessionals, True Crime Historian, 36 Times, STAT, which is on also known as Shocking Traumas and Treatments, Weird Darkness, The Intronaut, Daily Dose of Weird News, The Brohio Podcast, Gone Cold, and The Higher Side Chats, with more incredible podcasts being added on the regular. I mean, what more is there to say? So seriously, you guys, make sure you check out and follow BombPod Media on Twitter at BombPod Media, on Facebook at BombPod, and at BombPodMedia.com. And that's Bomb, B-O-M-B, Pod, P-O-D, Media, M-E-D-I-A.com. And you can check out the site and Twitter and Facebook for updates and podcasts and podcast editions and exclusive content and so much more. So it's seriously the place to be. So then, moving on, it's almost October, and you guys know how I feel about October and Halloween. I mean, I feel like I need to lock it up to keep myself from dancing all around because I love it, you know, and let's be real, it's not October that I love, it's Halloween. So I've twisted Marie's arm and part of her right leg into getting down with some creep for the month of October, and in true Marie fashion, she agreed because, you know, we love each other. So we are going to be bringing the goods two times a week, and I know I've talked about this, but I'm just so excited. What? That's crazy talk, two times a week? No, seriously, two times a week. And I can tell you that I'm already feeling exhausted at the thought of all the work that's about to go into putting two shows together per week. But seriously, that's how much we love you guys, and that's how much I love Halloween. So before we get a jump on things for the month of October, be sure to let us know if there's a creepy topic you want us to cover. And seriously, you guys, there's a really good chance that we'll do it just for you. So be sure to reach out to us at The Medium, at themediummatters.com, and send us your suggestions and questions and ghost stories and all that good stuff. And I'd actually love it if you guys would send us your ghost stories audibly. So, I mean, I would love, love, love to hear your story straight from you. So if you're up for it, which, you know, it's faster than writing everything, be sure to record an audio version of your story on your phone or whatever's easiest, and then email it to us at themedium@themediummatters.com, and we'll play it on our listeners' ghost stories episode. That's right. So then, let's get on with the show and kick off the Halloween season with a little Samhain. So tonight, you guys, we're talking about Samhain.
Samhain.
Okay, so
And we're not even drinking yet.
The best thing just happened right now. Marie didn't turn her mic on. I'm so, this like made my day. I'm so excited right now.
It's been a long week.
It has been a long week. And it's Tuesday.
Yeah, but this, my brain has been, was turned to mush last week.
Mm-hmm. So you guys, I know I just, you know, did the intro because we're going to, but that aside, we're recording on an off night, first of all. Second, Marie has been working around the clock on a proposal. Her eyes are crossed right now. She can't even see straight. And then she's got to go to, what are you going to?
I'm going to a music festival on St. George Island tomorrow.
Okay, so we're not feeling bad about that. What do you have after that?
And from there, I'm going down to Daytona for a conference.
I want to feel bad for you. No, the conference, I know that's work stuff. And you're going to be there for what, 3 days?
Totally work stuff. Yes.
Okay, 3 days.
Yeah, so I'll be gone 8 days.
So that she forgot to turn her mic on is just, you know, it's okay.
All the other craziness that goes on with anybody who has ever written a proposal knows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forgetting to turn the mic on is so typical.
It is forgivable behavior. It really is.
Yeah. So typical. And brain is mush.
All right. So to get back on track, I had to also pause and take a little break to cough and not puke. So it's a good, it's going well. It's going real well.
Don't puke in your microphone. That's not good.
God, no. Oh, that'd be gross. All right. So as discussed, we're talking Samhain tonight. What the hell is Samhain?
I don't know. What is Samhain?
So Samhain, and I'm going to say this up front. If you try to look it up, you're going to want to spell it Samhain because it's pronounced Samhain though, but it looks like Samhain.
Sounds like a superhero. Samhain.
Or something super evil. Samhain. I don't like it.
Actually, I learned about this holiday last year.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. When I started researching it.
And no, I do too.
I do too. I love it.
I do too. So this is what it is, you guys. So Samhain, it's a Gaelic festival marking the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter, or the darker half of the year. Now, I know my little friend here doesn't like the darker half. Not like the
actually,
winter.
I love winter. Fall and winter is probably my favorite.
Well, no, I love this spring too. This is darker half, like, quote unquote.
Oh, the scary stuff?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the good stuff happens.
See. Mm-hmm.
So Samhain really, like, this is, we're going to dive in a little bit, you guys. Don't fall asleep. I promise it's going to be good. But it's, we're going to dive in and talk about, like, this is where Halloween comes from.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know how many episodes in now. We're in the double digits, but you should know by now, I am a whore for Halloween.
Halloween and like whore.
and anything scary. Except Ouija boards. But I love my Halloween. So yeah, Samhain is the division between this world and the other world. And it's the time when the veil is the thinnest.
And I think that is so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
So if you've not seen a ghost, and I'll say quote unquote ghost, maybe this is your time.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the time. If you've been wishing like, oh, eyes, let thy see, or some crap. I don't know how you pray, but not you. Marie's looking at me like I have fallen off my rocker. I may have. I'm very tired. So here's how it went. At Samhain, the family's ancestors were honored and invited home while harmful spirits were warded off. So when they're talking ancestors being invited home, they're not talking their grandmother and the great grandmother that live next door on the, oh, I almost said a bad word, on the farm. They're talking the ancestors that have crossed over
on the other side.
On the other side, correct.
And not the other side of the fence.
Right. Into the other world or yes. the, you know, whatever. So at this time, people would wear costumes and masks to disguise themselves as the harmful spirits, which, I mean, anyway, apparently it was supposed to help them to not be harmed by the harmful spirits.
So were they thinking that if they dressed up as a skeleton or a witch, they would
harm from a skeleton or a witch?
Scare the bad spirits away?
Well, I don't know if it's so much scare them away or if it's like, I'm going to dress up like a skeleton or a witch. And then when a skeleton or a witch sees me, they're like, oh, yeah, you're one of me.
They were in disguise.
Right.
They're trying to blend in.
Disguise themselves, right.
They're trying to blend in with the...
Like when hunters, like deer hunters go out and they put like deer pee on them.
Oh, yeah, that nasty, that's so stinky. Disgusting. Oh, my God, that's so gross.
It's super gross.
Yeah, that's so gross.
And then they sit in... Oh, my God. F-bombs want to fly out of my mouth so badly right now. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, I want to go and like, I would like to sit in a tree stand and watch deer because I want to see deer. It's like, oh, look, there's a, but I don't want to hurt him.
No.
I just want to like, oh, look, there's a deer. He's so pretty.
Okay. So you guys, where we live, we are in like baby Alabama. There are a lot of trees here, a lot of woods, which in turn means we have a lot of deer. And you can literally see them when you drive down the road.
Right.
They're on the side of the freeway.
Yes.
Grazing. So you don't even have to sit up in a tree in a post for hours. Drive down 85.
Yeah.
You'll see them just fine.
That's true. But just being in nature and just being
outside
and the quietness.
And you might see a skeleton or a witch.
Well, if I dress up one, they'll think I'm one of their peeps. So.
Very true. It makes me sad when I drive down the freeway and I see the deer on the side of the road, like eating. And I always feel bad. Like, I'm like, they're so close to the road and we've come and like invaded their space. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But I'm just like, please don't run in front of me.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God, I know. There's like all these little gadgets that you can like put on your car supposedly to like ward them off.
Do they work?
I have no idea.
Listeners, let us know.
I don't even know what we were talking about.
Okay, so
okay.
Samhain.
So people would wear these costumes to disguise themselves, and it's like on The Walking Dead, which I know you don't watch, but, you know, like Carol or somebody would like put the zombie blood on so that they smell like one of them and they're not...
Gross.
You know what I mean? So they can, you know, escape and get out with their lives.
Ew, gross.
Yeah. So I don't know which is worse, the blood of the dead or the urine of a deer.
I'm not going to find out either way.
I know. It's crazy.
Yep. So the veil thins between the two worlds.
Yes. And the costumes and the Samhain/Samhain. And we're back on track. So this is a festival, if you couldn't figure it out already. It's a festival where they have bonfires and food. And they are like, come on, ancestors, because the veil is thin. And our, you know, bratty kids are wearing costumes and disguises, which isn't
it's a skeletons. Family celebration all the way around.
It is. So here's some of the ways they celebrated. So the bones of slaughtered livestock were cast into a communal fire. Household fires were extinguished and started again with the fire from the bonfire.
Oh.
Where'st they had the bones of the slaughtered livestock. Food was prepared for the living and the dead. Food for the ancestors, who were in no position to eat it, was usually enjoyed by the people that were less well off.
Yeah, what I think is cool is when they set up as part of this holiday. Have you ever walked into a restaurant and they have an empty table set up to honor the soldier who's not coming home, and the different things on the table at the place setting represent different things, Like,
I've been to, I don't know that I've seen it in a restaurant. I've seen it in, at like a banquet.
Yeah. There's a,
which I'm sure it's like the same.
It's the same thing. Kinda, yeah. There's a pizza place, down on the county line that does it. And it touches my heart every time I see
Which place is that? County Line Pizza?
Yeah.
There's a pizza place down on the county line.
Yeah.
Literally called Calumet.
Right. So they do that as part of the ceremony, as part of this holiday. For whoever you want, for your ancestor who's crossed over. It's like, here, great, great, great.
County Line Pizza does that?
No.
Oh.
No. So you have a party at your house.
Like County Line Pizza, like, except at Samhain.
Except at your house, when you're celebrating, you set an extra place for your ancestor who is going to come and visit from the other side. You know, great, 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 super great grandma. You know, so she can come visit and go, oh, they remembered me. And have the plate.
Tell
for
me, if you had this place set up like this chair at the table with the plate and the thing and the whatever, and you put food on this plate, and you suddenly see the fork shuffling food around on the plate all by itself, your response is what? You guys are amazed. It's so funny. Her eyes are huge.
Hey, Grandma, what's up? What else you gonna
say? I would like to see that video. Is what
I
would
see,
like.
If I see a fork levitate over the food anywhere, I really don't know. I mean, a few years back, I would probably went running and screaming. But today, I'd probably look at it and go, what the heck? Mm-hmm. Now there's a string somewhere. Let me go look.
I think my response would still be, with all of my experience, I might still say, you know what I mean? I'm like,
oh yeah, I'd be scared, but I'd be like, okay, I gotta go see this for myself.
It'd be, I mean, and then if they shoveled the food up to, you know, where the mouth would be, what happens to the food? Does it get dropped? Or, you know, like there's no digestive tract, there's no, you know.
You were thinking way too much into this.
I know. I just, I.
No, okay. They would start a food fight.
Our ancestors, yes, they would. They most certainly would. All right. So there's this festival. We're back on track. There's a festival with these plates that are served up with, you know, piled high with food for the ancestors and, you know, ward off the bad and invite the good. So the way this goes down is Christianity incorporated the honoring of the dead into the Christian calendar with All Saints, which is All Hallows, on November 1st, followed by All Souls on November 2nd. So this is where the wearing of the costumes and masks to ward off the harmful spirits comes in, and that's, you know, it's survived as Halloween customs. So that's where it comes from, is these festivals they used to do back in the day.
Interesting.
Right? I never knew that. As much as I love Halloween, I never once was like, let me research.
Where did it come from?
Right. Like Valentine's Day with the candy hearts.
Yeah. I've also heard it called Witch's New Year. Which I thought
Halloween?
Was, yeah, Samhain.
Samhain.
Which is New Year, because it's the end of the harvest. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you're entering the dark season. Mm-hmm. And which is New Year, a whole new season to party it up.
Oh, yeah. So the Irish immigrated to America in great numbers during the 19th century, and especially around the time of famine in Ireland during the 1840s. And so when they came, they carried their Halloween traditions to America. And, you know, thank you for that, because now it's a major U.S. holiday.
And their beer.
I know. So, you know, through the times of other traditions, you know, things have been blended. And with Halloween, there's things that have been blended, like, you know, the carving of the pumpkin or bobbing for apples or, you know, it all comes together. So the festival of Samhain ends up marking the end of the Celtic year and beginning of the new one. And as such, can be seen as the equivalent of New Year's, like you were just talking about, which is New Year. Except they don't see it as which is New Year. They just see it as the New Year.
The ending of the harvest season, mm-hmm. which I also love because it's food.
Right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's not like you and I have a fixation on food at all.
I feel like if we go back through every episode, there is a mention of food somewhere. It's cupcakes and ice cream and
oh yeah,
donuts. When we talked about Beau and his obsession with carbs,
yes,
it's everywhere.
Oh yeah,
it's not good.
So maybe that's another reason I'm digging this holiday, because right? It is celebrating the harvest and some of the activities are, you know, making a dish, a family dish to mm-hmm. honor your ancestors. I think that's awesome.
I think so, too. I really do. I mean, just honoring your ancestors in general, I think, is super cool.
Yeah, I don't think we do that enough.
It depends on
I think a lot of
the
people,
culture.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget where they came from.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I came from work. There she goes. So Samhain is traditionally celebrated from October 31st, one of my favorite days, to November 1st, as the Celtic day began and ended at sunset, which is very cool. So it does fall halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice, which, you know, we love a solstice.
Yes.
Love a solstice. And it's a festival that is widely observed throughout Ireland, Scotland, and the Isle of Man, with similar festivals being held at the same time of year in other Celtic lands.
So I think we should go to Scotland or Ireland for this holiday. What do you think?
I think we should. And I have some little stories that I'll tell at the end.
Oh, good.
To have a little bit of... I'm not going to tell you. They may or may not be creepy. I don't know. Just, you know, in honor...
So Chantel's going to sit in her chair and I'm going to get curled up on the floor
in the corner.
Sit cross-legged and listen like a little first grader.
I know. So here's what makes Samhain seem dark, you know, and I mean dark like evil, because so far we haven't talked about anything dark really outside of the people that have been celebrating at the festival. And they talk about how, you know, they wear these costumes and masks and stuff to ward off the bad and invite the good and all that stuff. So the perceptible and apparent decline in the strength of the sun at this time of the year is what seems to be the source of anxiety for people at that time. And the lighting of the winter fires, like the bonfire and, you know, what have you, symbolized the people's attempt to assist the sun on its journey across the skies. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's why they did the bonfire.
Mm-hmm. That's why. It was an assist, if you will.
Ah, helping a girl
mm-hmm,
out.
Mm-hmm. Like a nice sports assist. So fire, I mean, you know, we talk about elements and stuff, and fire happens to be the earthly counterpart of the sun. And it's powerful and appropriate symbol, an appropriate symbol to express, you know, the people's helplessness in the face of the overwhelming sense of the decay of... you know, the season is winter is setting in and everything is dying off. And so I can see that, you know, shed a little light, if you will.
Yeah. Everything's been harvested and it's time to settle in and mm-hmm. hunker down for winter.
Yeah. So the way they saw it is the sun would descend into the underworld, right? Creepy. You know, to me, I'm like, it's over there, but I'm not like, oh, it's in the underworld.
Right.
But these are, you know, traditional beliefs and handed down from, you know, when the earth was still flat.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. Is this mm-hmm. when the earth was still flat?
I'm sure. So in their beliefs, the Lord of the Underworld, who, you know, was not controlled by the sun, would now walk the earth. And with him, as he walked the earth, would be these creatures of the underworld.
Oh, no.
To really add some creep. So it's like ghosts and fairies and, you know, all kinds of other nondescript creatures. And he was the Lord of the Dead in Celtic mythology, identified as Dawn. Not our friend Dawn.
Dawn Lycan. Like D-O-N?
D-O-N-N.
D-O-N-N.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So here's... Okay, the dogs agreed. You guys hear them? They're outside of the door protesting. So here's who Dawn is. And, you know, again, Lord of the Dead in Celtic mythology. In case you forgot, you're looking like you're glazing over.
No, I am hanging on to every word.
Okay, so here's the lowdown. So according to mythology, when the invaders of Ireland, known as the Milesians, landed at the Boyne, they made their way to Tara. Okay, so any of our Irish friends, if we, in the course of storytelling, are butchering this stuff, please don't send the black dog or the banshee or anybody after us. We mean no harm.
Just email us and correct us.
Yeah, it's Marie's fault. So anyway, make their way to Tara. So once they're there, they are advised by the druids that they should return to their ships and sail off the shore to the length of 9 waves. Why 9? I don't even know. So when they were on the sea, a great storm arose, which scattered their fleet. The commander of one of the ships was none other than Dawn. Mm-hmm. I know. So his ship in the storm was broken to pieces, and he ended up drowning along with 24 of his comrades. It was a bad night.
The head of the underworld mm-hmm. drowned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And here's why he's the head of the underworld. So he, you know, drowns with 24 of his comrades, and he was buried on the Skellig Islands off the coast of Kerry. So he is the first of the new wave of invaders to meet his death in Ireland, and as such, became elevated to the status of God of the Dead. So the place of his burial became known as the House of Dawn, and soon after became identified with the underworld. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Of the underworld. I know. How do you make that correlation? I have no idea. Maybe because, you know, people are looking at it and they're like, he's an invader. He means harm and has bad intentions and he's got to be evil.
So he came over. The druid said, go away. And he said, okay.
Mm-hmm. And a big storm arose.
He didn't fight the druid and...
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to bring out my crystal ball later, see if I can do a replay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That must have been a pretty badass druid.
Mm-hmm. Or druids, plural.
To scare them away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, like, how many of his crew survived? You know, because he and 24 perished in that storm.
The druids were like 8 foot tall and he was like 4'7". Right. And he went, okay.
Right.
And turned around and left.
Oh, God. I know. I don't know.
Interesting story.
So, yeah. So he ends up becoming identified with the underworld or otherworld. And so the Celts were fascinated with tracing their ancestry, as, you know, everybody is, except they didn't spit in a cup and send it into, you know, 23andMe or whatever those sites are. So they would go, you know, when they're tracing their ancestry, they would go back as far as they could. And often they identified their earliest ancestors with the gods of their people. I don't know how that happened, but anyway... So that's where the belief arose from, where that when they died, they went to the house of their ancestor, the god of the other world.
Huh.
The House of Dawn. I know.
Interesting.
You're looking okay. All puzzled.
No, I am fascinated.
Mm-hmm. So there's others that say that the dead assemble at his house and describe deceased people traveling to and from here. So I don't know where they're going to or coming from or I don't know. So anyway, fishermen in the area have said that they hear strange boats passing to the island at night, and the names of those who disembark are called out. That is creepy AF. Creepy.
Wow.
You've heard your name called, haven't you?
Only in class when I talk too much.
I heard your name called today on a conference call. So later, Christians would write that they claimed that the souls of the damned lingered at his house before departing for hell. So like a holding place? They're like, number 27?
They couldn't.
Was it like Beetlejuice? Have you seen Beetlejuice? Yes. Yeah.
So they could, it was definitely hell. They couldn't go to heaven?
I don't know.
Or is that a different aisle?
It's a different aisle. It's a different house.
A different house.
The house two streets over. If you got lost and ended up at his house, you were screwed. Yeah. You were fooked. So anyway, you know, because of all this, it's not surprising that aspects of his personage have been adapted by Christian writers in their portrayal of the devil. Evil. So that, I mean, that's what I think of is they associated him with being evil and, you know, God of the other world and underworld because he came with bad intentions to cause harm and wreak havoc.
Like Hades from the Hercules movie.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think James Wood when I think underworld.
Right?
Yeah, I think he has a James Woods voice.
Oh, God. So Samhain being the Feast of the Dead can now, you know, you can clearly see it's incorporating the cult of dawn into the celebration. And the fires were, you know, in all likelihood lit in honor of the sun god, which, you know, that's what people were doing was trying to help the sun get to where it needed to go. And also, you know, shedding some light on the situation because now the days are shorter and the, you know, gets dark earlier. So, you know, the idea that Samhain is a juncture between, you know, the two halves of the year, it really is. It marks the end of one and the beginning of another, like the new year, like you said, the witch's new year. So, you know, it could be said that time stood still on this night and those implications would be immense. I mean, you know, it's just like the order is thrown out and there's chaos and there's, you know, the blending of the two sides, the living and the dead, and which, I mean, we have that all the time, but it's just that time of year when supposedly the veil is thinner. So you may see more or you may just have these different experiences that you wouldn't normally have. Right?
Yeah. Your chance to communicate
to
whoever is gone That's before true. You, basically.
It's true. So here are some of the warnings of things that can happen on that night or that would happen on that night.
Okay.
So an unwary traveler... It's a dark and stormy night. So a traveler that's caught away from home on this night could expect to encounter any one or many of the creatures. And it was always advised that you stay home indoors. Lock it up. Because
that's like the opposite of trick-or-treating.
Oh, but it gets better.
Okay.
So ghosts were everywhere and may or may not be harmful to the living. So you know, roam around in the dark at your own risk is basically what I'm understanding. You know, I don't know. So it's, I mean, I don't know, you know, around this time there's these warnings of stay home and lock your doors and your windows or your, you know, the shutters. I don't know what they use then. Curtains, whatever.
Right, so you're hunkered in for the night. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what's out there because the veil is lifted and spirits are running amok.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. So I don't know. I mean, the ghosts may not have been entirely benign. They may have.
Well, I think you don't know what you're getting when mm-hmm. that veil is lifted. You don't know if it's a positive energy or a negative energy coming over.
It's true. It's true. And if you're what do people call it? Like, not meddling, but what is it? Dabbling.
Right.
Dabbling. You could really fook things up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, that night would be a really cool night mm-hmm. to, you know, sit in your backyard and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, I am going to be covered head to toe in amethyst and
right?
saged up. And
right.
Oh, yeah.
I would go to my garden, pick my sage early, dry it up, and burn that junk all night long.
Yeah.
Salt the perimeter of the house. All around the land. You know, yeah. Run out of salt. But so the thinking at this time is that the ghosts, you know, good or bad, needed to be appeased. And this is where the offerings come from. So that's like the food and the, you know, whatever.
Oh, okay. All right. So our favorite part.
Right, right. We all need to be appeased. So long as the offering was forthcoming, the ghosts were happy and benevolent. But if the offering was withheld, another sign of the ghosts would pretty much come out. So bad luck would descend on the household and all would not be well the coming year. So it was like, it was legit bad luck if you held out and didn't give the ghost what they wanted. Which, what if you served up roasted turkey and they're like, screw turkey, I want a roast beef or some crap. I don't know.
I want a chocolate peanut butter
mm-hmm.
cup.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? So this is where, you know, the kids would dress up as ghosts and witches and they would go, you know, house to house and they would, you know, that's where trick or treat comes from. And the treat is a donation or, you know, something, some great possession or some crap.
Beads. I give out beads. beads and chocolate.
So, yeah. Are you going to, what are you going to?
At Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I can't find my words. I'm not even going to ask my question. So the treat may represent the ritual offering, while the trick, you know, which nowadays we know is like a harmless prank, but then it wasn't. It could have bad consequences if you made them pull a trick on you. It's not good.
No, it's not good. I don't want somebody to pull a mean trick on me.
No.
I don't need any little trick-or-treater TPing mm-hmm. my house.
Mm-hmm. So it said that, you know, just as the festival stands on the boundary between summer and winter, because it's, you know, ending one and bringing on the other, they, you know, the people at that time said that the other boundaries, there were other boundaries that were in danger at that time. So the boundaries between a man's land and his neighbors were a dangerous place to be on that night. Ghosts were found along these points. And a sow between adjacent land was a place of particular dread and best avoided. Which, to me, you've already been warned, stay the H in your house. Don't be coming out. So you shouldn't be on the boundary of like another man's land. You should be inside by the fire or, you know, curled up in the corner, just waiting for the purge to be over. So,
yeah, why would you be walking the perimeter of your property anyway?
Right. I mean, to me, you're just asking for trouble
at night.
Right. Your neighbor sees you from afar and it's like, oh, my God, a ghost. And suddenly, you know, thinks it wise to maybe shoot at a ghost. And he's really shooting at your ass. That should be inside. Eating roast beef.
He's shooting at a ghost.
You never know.
That's a wasted bullet.
We know that. But listen, if you see some ridiculous crap coming at you and it looks terrifying as heck and you happen to have a gun in your hand, do you know for certain that you wouldn't shoot?
I'd run. I'd hand you the gun and I'd run. Here, Chantel, take over. I'm out.
Marie's like, I'm leaving. Clean as clock. Oh, God. Oh, gosh. So, you know, overall, it's the holiday that now we know as Halloween, which, again, my favorite. Halloween just kicks off the holiday season.
So, are you going to dress up this year?
Maybe.
So you don't have any ideas what you're going to dress up as?
Well, I don't really have anywhere to dress up and go to. So
you want to come to my neighborhood and go trick-or-treating?
You know what? I will. I'll do it. Let's be Starsky and Hutch.
Okay.
Do you have the car?
I don't have that car.
Then like a third of our costume is wasted.
Well, last year I was Wayne's World. Who's the blonde? Garth.
Mm-hmm.
I was Garth. I had a blonde wig. And my boyfriend was Wayne. So we were Wayne and Garth.
What was the... what were you that year? Were you the girl from The Ring?
Yeah, the year before, I was actually scary. I tried very hard to be scary because I'd never been scary before.
Is that
in
who
my
you
life.
Were?
No, I was just a scary little girl. I had a nightgown on and my hair was frizzed out and I had like a white face with dark eyes and I was carrying a little bunny rabbit doll. And apparently I scared a lot of people. It was fun. It's the first time in my life I've ever pulled off scary.
I saw pictures and it was pretty scary.
Yeah, they're kind of disturbing.
Sorry, that was my mommy calling. She's probably like, did you eat your lunch today?
I love that you still call her mommy.
So that was a good, I saw pictures of that because I wasn't at that party. It was a very good costume. That's who you look like. And I know you haven't seen The Ring.
No, I haven't. It was just scary, scary little girl.
She's a crazy bee.
Is what I was going after.
She's creepy. And she crawls out of TVs.
Ooh.
I
didn't know that.
She lives in a well.
Oh, that's scary.
It's a good movie for you to watch. All by yourself.
No, thank you.
I saw it recently. I hadn't seen it in forever. One night.
No,
dark and stormy night. I watched it.
Not me.
So, Marie.
So, this year, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
What are we going to do? Last year, we did a bonfire in my backyard. Well, a fire. And invited friends over and had a chill and hung out. Everybody brought over food, so we had quite a spread going on. And we basically sat in the backyard and laughed and talked and
It was a lot of fun.
And just chilled out.
Usually on Halloween, this is what I do. I sit outside at the end of the driveway by myself because Sean is like, no. Number one, there's mosquitoes. Number two, there's a lot of people in our neighborhood.
Yeah, you've got a pretty active trick-or-treat neighborhood, don't you?
You have no idea. Or do you? I don't know. Did you spend Christmas here?
Not in this neighborhood, no.
It is jumping here.
See, my daughter had a routine. She would go to her best friend's neighborhood, which is not far from here. Which was hopping. It was, we have a 2-hour window to trick or treat. They would go trick or treat and have a great time. And then the second hour, they would come to our neighborhood, which was dead. No activity. But that second hour, because everybody bought candy. They are dumping their bowls into the kids' bags.
They're over it.
Because they just want to get rid of the candy. So the first hour, the kids were having a good time, going door to door, having fun. The second hour, they were in serious collection mode. And they would rack up the candy because everyone's just dumping their stuff
They're
out.
Done. Yeah. They're like, I'm done being nice to children.
Yes. Empty the bowl, go away, turn off the lights.
Right. I don't know if you're good or evil, so I need to lock it up. That's what's happening. Yes, my neighborhood is super busy on Halloween, and I get like 6 to 8 bags of candy.
What?
For real. What, is that not enough?
That's a lot.
Listen, that stuff is gone in 45 minutes. I'm not even kidding. And I'm not like handfuls of candy. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, Oprah, you get two and you get two candies and you get two candies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I have to give out like Mardi Gras beads. Because really, hardly any kids come to the house. So I give out these beads and, you know, maybe some chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I always buy the chocolate I like because there's going to be leftovers. And
well, that's just good sense.
And yeah, I don't buy six bags of candy. Oh, dear God.
Oh, yeah. And I keep like, I don't know, the bowl is like pretty big. And I give that stuff out. And then I have like another two bags under my chair. And then the rest are like in the house and I run in and grab them because it's still hot out here, October 31st.
It is. It's still warm.
Yeah. So to have chocolate candy sitting out there on the driveway is not even wise. No, we burned through it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this but was an active trick-or-treat neighborhood.
It is.
I didn't know it was like.
So if you're bored, you can come sit with me this year and we will both get eaten up by mosquitoes.
I might put on my little
Some of our friends come through here.
Okay.
It's true. So what I traditionally do is I go sit outside, usually like around, I don't know, between 6 and 6:30. It depends like when everybody gets hopping. And it's like, it starts off like a little trickle and then it's like a bomb has exploded and roaches are everywhere. It's like that. And I hand out the candy usually around 45 minutes, like 30 to 45 minutes.
Okay.
And then I come inside. And I turn off the lights.
And you're hiding.
And I watch Halloween.
Oh, because, my goodness. Because it's Halloween.
Because Halloween. Which I can watch Halloween every single day. I love that movie. I love it. Jamie Lee Curtis. Michael Myers.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the best. It's the best. So that's what I do. And I hang out with my dogs. And Sean is playing whatever video game. Not participating in Halloween because he didn't grow up like, you know, trick-or-treating and stuff.
What?
Mm-hmm.
There was a child who grew up without trick-or-treating?
Yeah, I think he may have gone once, if that. But, you know, he was also in Chicago. Like, it's just not wise to run around in Chicago.
Huh. That's
they
just
weren't maybe like in the best place.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I know.
I
so I'm
never,
like,
never
let me
about that. He's still catching up to do.
I know. I'm like, help me help you. Let me make your world beautiful and make you a lover of Halloween. And he's
right.
Like, no.
Yeah. Candy and pumpkins and.
I know. It really is. I mean, here's what I wanted to do. Today is, I mean, we're like approaching the end of September here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even funny. And I really like at the end of August, I said, I want to decorate for Halloween on September 1st. And
people do that because they're ready for fall.
They do. They totally do. And it wasn't because I'm like, oh, I'm ready to be done with summer. It's because I love Halloween so much. I want to drag it out. So my plan this year was I want to observe Halloween September, October, and November.
Right.
And then on Thanksgiving or a week after, start decorating for Christmas.
There are houses in my neighborhood who have their haystacks and scarecrows and pumpkins out because everybody is ready. They're ready for the weather to break and they're ready for fall. They're just ready. And it's September. I mean, just because we live in Florida, I mean, it's still September. Everybody still wants to.
Hotter than Hades.
Yeah, they
mosquitoes
still
the size of your arm.
Right. They still want to pretend that cool weather's coming.
Mm-hmm. It really is pretending because it's not coming.
No, not for a while.
Mm-mm.
I mean, my birthday's in December and we're still out
in shorts and
in shorts and going to the beach. And
it's like celebrating Christmas in Australia.
Really?
It's hot in Australia at Christmas time.
I don't know. I've never been.
Neither have I. I've heard.
But I do know what it's like celebrating Christmas here. And it's.
Oh, yeah. It's hot.
Yeah. But I like
it's not like scalding hot.
No.
It's not.
But
it's not
it.
Like 100 degrees anymore. It's like
99. No, it's not. It's
by
nice
98.
Out. It's nice out. It's
nicer.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's nicer.
It is.
It's just, it's not nice. So. Okay, so we've gone way off topic. We now know that I will have a date this year at the end of the driveway.
Just not for the Halloween movie.
I won't be the sad girl. Well, what do you want to do?
I will sit out there and hand out Halloween candy with you, and I want to see all the little kids in their little outfits and they're go, "Aw, look at her! Oh, I know she's so adorable."
I don't
want to
like them, but I do. They look so cute.
Yeah, what do you especially mean, don't like them.
I don't. I don't. I feel like they're bad ghosts.
No, see, they're blending in with the other ghosts, and they're kids. They're fun.
The tiny guys in like the superhero costumes—they get me every time. I'm like, your legs are barely 2 inches. What? What's with the muscles? They're so cute.
They're adorable.
It's delicious. Okay. So this year, last year we did the bonfire at your house.
Right.
In celebration. Although I think only three of us knew we were truly celebrating.
Yeah, because that turned into that it did. And I invited a lot of people. But I didn't invite them twice. I didn't send out reminders or anything like that. I just prayed that people would come and that this would be an event where if somebody needed to be there, they would come. So even if it was just me and you sitting there, and I mean, I knew it would be at least me, you, and Lily sitting there. I was.
That's all we need.
It was totally fine. But people came. And when I looked around at one point there in the night, I mean, I knew their individual stories and I knew that they were meant to be there. You know, it was such a decompression time and we laughed and it was just a good night. You know, everyone, you know, they did bring food that came from, you know, their family, their ancestors. And we sat around, told stories, laughed, and it was
a very good time.
It was a very healing night, and I can't explain it. It was just
good
energy.
It was so chill and
yes, good energy all the way around.
It really was almost like it centered you, grounded you, protected you, healed you. It was, I could sit by a fire for hours. I really could. And not just like a fireplace. I mean, that's pretty.
No, a raging, roaring.
Yeah, but like being outside in the, you know,
hearing
under the stars.
The popping and the cackling of the fire.
God, it's the best.
Oh, yeah. And you're bundled up in your jacket and it's just awesome.
So we've never lived in a house that's had a fireplace.
Oh.
Ever. You have a fireplace, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my parents do too. So we've never lived in a house with a fireplace. And like a couple years or so ago, maybe more, and that has zero relevance to my story. It's Christmas Day or like right around Christmas. And Netflix has this fireplace, you know, little video or whatever that you can play. And it like crackles and it's like so relaxing.
And you played it.
So I played it and I go, babe, look. I'm like, look, a fireplace. We've never had one. Straight faced, like so straight faced. He's like, and we still don't. I was like, dang,
he
man.
He calls it like it
immediately
sees
deflated.
Aww.
Do you think I turned it off? I did not.
Of course you did not.
I did not. I was like, I'm going to enjoy
your fire
the F out of this.
Yeah. And you've got no ash to clean up. And
right.
Right.
The best fireplace in the world.
It wasn't heating up your house. Mm-mm. It was just pretty and you could hear all the noises. Mm-hmm. And
in fact, I believe I may have had the AC on. Maybe because it was so hot outside. Also maybe to inspire me to bundle up whilst in front of a fire. So then, we're talking about our plans for this year.
Yes.
How else? Like, what else can we do, Marie? Okay, let's talk about this.
Okay.
An important topic that rarely comes up for us. You guys are going to be surprised. What can we do food-wise?
Well, I think we do like we did last year and make a dish, a family dish, a traditional food item that our ancestors would have made and bring it.
Who's ancestors made lemon cookies, because whoever brought those, they were so good.
Oh, yeah. That would be Marianne.
Those were like Fresh Market.
And her ancestors, I think, bought them from Fresh Market. And they were awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping her ancestors go buy them again.
Right?
Yes.
Are there traditional Samhain foods that we could maybe like?
Well, there's pumpkin pie, gingerbread, apple cider. Ooh, we could get a couple of bottles of dark wines.
I'm listening.
Yes. There's apples, potatoes. You know, you can do potatoes a million different ways.
I like all of those things.
Yeah, me too.
So here's what I think we should do.
Okay.
We sit at the end of the driveway. Yeah. We have some ultra dark red wine.
Yeah.
Because the ancestors want us to.
Of course.
Maybe a baked potato that's loaded.
A loaded baked potato.
With some pumpkin pie. What else was on that list? Lemon cookies.
Gingerbread.
Right. We have it all. Any mention of ice cream?
Don't they have like a pumpkin spice ice cream out right now? Or if they don't, they should.
Well, if they don't, I'm sure Starbucks has something.
Oh, yeah. They got that pumpkin spice latte that I love.
Well, there you go.
So
I think we will be making the ancestors happy.
Oh, yeah. And my gut.
As we're both laid out at the end of the driveway covered in ants and mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we may or may not do another bonfire. What else would make the ancestors happy so that we don't summon
an ancestor,
the dark energies,
an ancestor box?
What?
A box.
What is that?
You get a box that you want to honor your ancestors with, and you put items in the box that remind you of them. So if I wanted to do one for my Thai grandmother, get a box, and you know, I knew she was very, very religious, so I might put a little Buddha trinket in there, or you know, some Thai spices or anything that would make me think of her. Or
do you have to know your ancestor in order to do this? I'd say no, right? You just kind of like,
well, you can guess, I suppose.
Yeah, what your lineage would do, like what your
right,
what's culturally
right, an ancestor box,
right?
Actually, I saw a program on TV where they were. These little girls had a grandfather who was in the process of passing away, and their mom came in and said, we're going to do a box and we're going to fill it with everything that makes us think of him. And so that was their little ancestor box. And they filled it, you know, they put, he taught
like
them,
that.
He taught them how to play chess. So they, you know, they put a chess piece in there, some music, because he was a musician, and just all the memories about him, they would put into this box, a letter he wrote them. And so, you know, 20 years from now, when they want to talk about him to their children, they could pull out the ancestor box and pull and say, oh yeah, I forgot about this. He taught me how to play chess, or, you know, and it's a way to remember your ancestors.
So basically, I mean, whatever you're doing at Samhain, it's in honor of your ancestors. So that really could be, you know, you could meditate and try to meet up with them in meditation, or just meditate, you know, in honor of them, or, you know, whatever it is. I think I read about something like an ancestor altar where you could do something similar to the box and put these different like trinkets and stuff that are, you know, like they don't have to be tied to them, but you know what I mean? Like, like you said, if your cultural tradition is like to have a Buddha, or, you know, certain coins or certain crystals or certain whatever it is,
whatever,
then you would put that.
Whatever makes you think of that person.
There is, like you were talking earlier, the Feast of the Dead, where you know, do the celebration meal and you have that place setting.
Yes.
that is for that ancestor, or, you know, the collective ancestors.
So when we're at the end of the driveway, we're going to set an extra chair out. So
With a glass of dark red wine.
Oh, yeah.
A potato, a piece of pumpkin pie, and something from Starbucks.
Now if a piece of candy starts levitating and going into the to the bags, that'll be a conversation piece, definitely.
Would it go into the bags because they're like, what the crap is this?
Well, you know, because we're handing out candy to the kids, right? Mm-hmm. So if candy started, like when you asked me, what would I do with a fork? Well, what if the candy came out of our little bowl and went into the kids' bags?
I can't even believe you responded to that question.
You asked.
Okay. So you know what else we could do? When we sit at the end of the driveway and drink and eat and eat and eat, we could tell ancestor stories.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what else we can do?
What? Okay, so we're drinking dark wine, eating candy, telling ancestor stories.
Mm-hmm. Maybe putting an ancestor altar together and an ancestor box. And when we're done, we can do a cemetery visit.
I'd be up for that.
The challenge here is, I think the point is to go visit the site of one of your loved ones, an ancestor.
I don't have any buried ancestors here, do you?
I do not. So maybe we just go visit someone else's ancestors.
We can do that.
Just to be like, hey, we don't want you to be alone tonight.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're probably at my house.
Yeah. Another ritual to do around this time of year is, you don't have to cast spells to cast out the old stuff, but basically cast it, because it is, you're marking the new year, to cast out your old things that no longer serve you, whether it be clothes that don't fit you anymore because you've eaten too much that year.
It's going to be a big box.
or just old emotions, habits, or decluttering your house. My house sorely needs it. Mm-hmm. Just things that no longer serve you so that you can make room for new beginnings.
Like you would at the full moon.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Which is tonight, right?
Tonight's new moon.
New moon. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
new moon is where you set your intentions.
Right.
And let me tell you,
that's a whole other podcast. Oh,
whole other podcast. But because, you know, we're talking about new moon. So this morning I woke up at like 4:30 for no good reason. And
the witching hour. Sure.
Yeah, no, sure. Because that's my world. So I, instead of just laying there till like 5:30 when my dogs would start hounding me to eat breakfast, I got up and went to where I have my crystal grid set up from last new moon.
Yeah.
Because I've been leaving it up all the way through the next new moon. And I wrote down my new list of intentions, things I want to manifest.
Oh.
Did not get to start, you know, tinkering with my crystals. Maybe later tonight. I don't know. Because, you know, that process takes...
It takes you hours.
It takes me a long time. Yeah. I got to like chit chat with them and it's a whole thing.
Right.
It's no Halloween night, I'll tell you that. Like it's a process. Okay, so we have a plan. We have a good plan. I'm excited.
Me too. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be
fun. And it will be here before you know it. Are you going to dress up?
I mean, I'm going to dress up as a wine drinker.
I think the easiest costume I've ever done was a cat burglar.
Really?
I had on a black shirt, black pants. I had pockets all over. And I took my daughter's, you know, Beanie Babies were big at the time. Mm-hmm. And she loves cats. So she had a ton of kitty cat Beanie Babies. Mm-hmm. And so I stuffed them in all my pockets. And I was a cat burglar. So
you were thieving Beanie Babies?
Kitties. I was a cat burglar.
Oh.
Kitty cats in all my pockets.
Oh, hell. That's a good one.
Ba-dum-bum.
That took me a minute. That's a permanent part of history now. I didn't get that. Wow, that was a little embarrassing. A cat burglar. I'm like,
cat.
I don't get it. Why the Beanie Babies? Yeah. They were all
kitty
cats.
They were all kitty cats. Mm-hmm. They're a little small.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In all the pockets.
I think I saw you wear that outfit recently.
Oh, who knows? Probably not. I probably outgrew it.
It's because we hang out a lot. Okay. So before we run out of time.
Okay.
I just want to tell some quick little stories.
Okay. Yes. I'm assuming position.
So these are, you know, these are old, like, old stories from the motherland.
Celtic stories?
Yeah. Old, like, ancient Irish folklore.
Cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. I'm listening.
Okay. So here's one called The Changeling. And by the time I'm done, you're going to be like, that explains a lot.
Are you listening? I'm listening.
So, in ancient Irish folklore tales of the little people, it was told that... I'm losing my place.
So little people.
I'm so like excited. Midgets, no, I'm like so excited about Halloween.
Okay. Fairies. What? How little are we talking? We're children.
Okay, hold on. In ancient Irish folklore tales of the little people were told with a quiver of fear. That's a quiver of fear. Did you guys hear that?
I did hear that.
That's one of my dogs. So these tales were told with a quiver of fear in case the little people should hear and be displeased with your tale. So again, you got to appease these MFers because they want things a certain way.
So these little people, they're not nice.
They're not nice. It sounds like
Children of the Corn.
Village of the Damned. Okay. Yes. They're not good little people. Mm-hmm.
Chucky.
He was possessed. He had another spirit in there. Or had a spirit in there.
All right. I'm with you though.
Okay. So there was one tale which had every parent on high alert. The story of the changeling. It was said that my dog needs to shush.
Oh my God, he sounds so pitiful.
I know. It's ridiculous. Okay.
The changeling.
So it was said that the fairy folk were none too enamored by their own offspring because, you know, if they're wicked, why would you be? Right? You're not happy with them.
Are fairies wicked?
The fairy folk, apparently, like their young people, their little people were the little people that were not very good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they would swap their child for a human child. That's just not even right.
That's scary. Okay.
So, it was generally thought that the third child in each family was the most in danger, and a quiet, gentle child was the most sought after. So, if you're the third kid and you're quiet, you're super fooked. They're coming for you.
The fairies are after you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. The fairy child was impish and bad-tempered. So a child with an enormous appetite who would quite happily eat you out of house and home. That's the fairy kid. The little people.
I'm not a fairy kid.
So they were constantly cranky and whiny, bad-tempered, and demanding attention and food morning, noon, and night. Not needing much sleep, it would kill their parents because... No, not like literally kill them, but they didn't sleep. Oh. They wouldn't sleep, or like they didn't need a lot of sleep. So their parents were like totally taxed. Like, what do? You got this like little person who used to be quiet and nice and your third kid, and suddenly like they're the devil. So anyway, despite its constant eating, it never seems to thrive, and its scrawny, pale appearance was matched only by its bad temper. That's like the umpteenth time we've heard about this damn bad temper. I'm not getting down with this. So to the untrained eye, this child seemed identical to the human child it was replacing, but only a mother's heart would know its true form, and sometimes only to her. Like, it would reveal itself to the mother or to, like, some people, but sometimes only to the mother.
Because mama always knows.
Mama knows. The mamas, they know. The good mamas. So the fairy folk would try every trick in the book to keep the human child because the human kid... You know, it was the third one and the quiet one. Who wouldn't want that? Right. I don't know what significance the third one has, but a quiet kid, I can get down with that. So making their child appear like an angel to some, they would hide the true nature because, you know, they want to do the swap. So they'd be like, best behavior, Johnny, or something. And Johnny's really like wicked on the inside. So the only way to return the human child to its rightful place would be to return the fairy child to their world, because they could not coexist in the same world. So you can't have, like, in your home, your kid, your, like, human kid, and the fairy kid.
So you somehow...
There would, like, be an implosion of some sort. I don't know.
So they just need to figure out a way to get the fairy baby to back to the other side, mm-hmm. to their fairy land.
The fairy baby.
And then their third child would come back home automatically. Poof.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you have to, like, go get them.
I'm sure there's a spell or a ritual that makes
no,
that
I think what happens is, like, if you find a way to make it to fairy world and return this demon, they have to give you your kid back.
Right.
Because they can't be in the same world at the same time.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's the story of the changeling.
No, there's more.
Oh, okay.
So there were many ways of keeping the little folk from the cradle where your child slept. Among some were hanging some of its father's clothing at the end of the crib, or blessing the child with the urine from the po, which was kept under the bed. There goes, that's like the second time urine comes up in this.
The po.
Mm-hmm. You know, the po. What's a po?
What's a, like Edgar Allan Poe? What are you talking about?
Yes, Edgar would lay under babies' beds and
with the po.
With pee.
I have no idea what that is.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay. So this was believed to keep the little people away by throwing them off the scent of the sleeping infant. Once changed, it was a difficult task to lure the fairy child back to its rightful place. So beware if your angel child suddenly turns into a demanding, angry, spoiled brat, for you could be raising the changeling.
That's scary.
Right? That's creepy.
It is creepy. That's a good Halloween story.
Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. I have a few others, but I'll save these for another episode because we got more work to do, like putting our menu together for Halloween. Because I'm so excited.
Important stuff.
I know. I can't wait. So then, with that, our episode is over. Did you have fun listening to me talk about the Celtics and...
Oh, yeah. I learned a lot. I learned a lot tonight. Thank you.
Evil Dawn and Lord of the Underworld and Otherworld.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't talk with a James Wood voice.
No, he doesn't. You know, as a reminder for you guys, we also talked about deer urine. We also talked about dark red wine.
Red, red wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little ditty for you from Marie. So, you know, I'm going to remind you guys, we're bringing the juice in October. I'm so excited. 2 episodes a week, which means a whole lot of work for us.
Yeah, which means we need to get busy.
However, it is my favorite month, so we're bringing the fun. If there's a topic you guys want to hear about for the month of October, something like something creepy, whatever.
You're trying to scare me?
I think the episodes we have ready to go are scaring you already. The ones that are, you know, on the list.
Ah, let's go for it. Mm-hmm, let's go mm-hmm. for it.
So let us know, you guys, if there's something in particular that you want to hear, let us know. And there's a very good chance we'll cover it because we love you. So you guys, thank you so much for joining us for another bomb.com and subscribe-worthy episode of The Media Matters. Please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes because we appreciate reading them. And those reviews also help our listeners or other listeners find the show. And, you know, let's face it, we want to share the love with everyone. And we also really, really do enjoy reading those reviews and sharing them with everyone. So we really appreciate you guys listening, liking, loving, and subscribing to the show. And in case we don't say it enough, we love each and every one of you. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Media Matters. Email us your questions, stories, and everything in between at the medium at themediummatters.com. And check out the website for upcoming fun, show notes, and more at themediummatters.com. And again, don't forget to send us your ghost stories, audible or otherwise, at the medium at themediummatters.com. And we'll be sure to include them in our listeners' ghost stories episode that's coming up in the month of October because, you know, Halloween and all that good stuff. We really, really appreciate you guys joining us and cannot wait to get rolling on all the Halloween fun. And before we say goodnight tonight, we want to give a shout out to our friend to the show, Rob Christofferson, and play a little something special for you. So Rob is working on launching his own podcast and we cannot wait to check it out. Here's a preview of the fun that's to come. I hope you guys enjoy it. Love and light to one and all. Good night, you guys.
It was Paul Hellyer, the former Canadian Minister of Defense, that said, UFOs are as real as airplanes flying overhead. And here at the Our Strange Skies podcast, we're going to take that seriously. Starting in January, we'll be looking into UFO events, incidents, and myths that make up our American identity, from the pre-Roswell era to the post-Roswell era. We'll be covering some of the lesser-known incidents, like the Aztec UFO crash of 1948, John Everill's colonial UFO encounter, and Robert Richardson's 1967 brush with the Men in Black. We'll also be covering some of the more well-known incidents, like the Roswell crash, and doing in-depth profiles on people like J. Allen Hynek, Sergeant Clifford Stone, and many more. Look out for the Our Strange Skies podcast in January. In the meantime, don't forget to look up, because you never know what you'll find in Our Strange Skies. In Gray We Trust.